What? You are going to have to do better now because I'm lonely up here. Apparently, this is the day, and the rest of us, we didn't get the memo. This was the day we was all supposed to go somewhere because most everybody's away from. But anyway, we're here, and we are here to worship the Lord. And so you got to make me feel like, you know, you're with me tonight because I'm up here all alone, and I'll feel all lonely. And a couple said they'd wave at me periodically, and that'll make me feel good. So, but I tell you what, not only if you wave, but if you'll smile at me, I'll really feel better. There we go. A couple of you want me to feel good. A couple of you don't care. But we're glad that you're here this morning, because most importantly, God's here this morning, and we are going to worship. Got a couple of announcements. There's some in your bulletin. You better read it, because I'm not announcing them, because they're in the bulletin. But there is one that's not in the bulletin, and that is tonight at 5:30, children's play practice will start for the Christmas program in the fellowship hall. So 5:30, Christmas program practice starts for those that want to be involved. Is there an age limit on that, Erica? You come and they'll figure it out tonight at 5:30. So it doesn't matter if you want to be involved in the play practice, you come on out at 5:30 fellowship hall. And things will get underway. Brant had a, where are you, Brant? You had an announcement you wanted to make. Well, there you go. You can't go wrong with donuts before Bible study, right? All right, Dr. George, you said you had an announcement as well. All right, so if you don't have enough junk, you need to come out to the yard sale. And if you've got too much junk already, you need to donate some and just swap it out, all right? So the 24th. All right, Patrick, I think you're ready to go too.
Good morning. I have several. Number one, we have our youth committee meeting today at 4:30. So if you're on that committee, I'd like to see you at 4:30. Number two, we have league tonight at 6 o'clock, as we normally do. Number three is this Saturday at 5 o'clock will be our game night. So it's first grade and up. We'll feed you, and we'll have a lot of fun, and then we'll send you home. So it's first grade and up, and that includes adults. If you want to come out and have a good time with the young people, you're invited, and you're welcome to come. And number four, just a reminder to the young people, I know some of you weren't here Wednesday night, but we sing today during the service. So when that time comes, bring your smiling faces up here. All right, thanks.
All right. Has anybody else got any announcements? Okay, go right ahead. Oh. Okay. Excellent. All right. Thank you for the update, Bonnie. Thank you. All right. Anyone else? All right. From the 10th chapter of Hebrews, it says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." There are so many good reasons for us to get together on a Sunday morning to worship the Lord, all right? But part of that is the encouragement that we give each other as we worship together. Let's pray. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for this privilege and for this opportunity. And Lord, we know that if anything good, if anything of value is going to happen here this morning, it's going to be because your Spirit comes and visits each and every one of us. So we open our hearts to you, and we invite you to come that we might worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, there is no song leader, because I'm not the song leader. I'm gonna be up here, and I'll get you going. But if you don't sing, we're just going to keep singing until you do. All right? So it really is up to you. You're going to stand together, and we are going to sing our call to worship, and then we'll sing "Grace That Is Greater Than Our Sin," and that is on page 201.
Thank you.
sit down, first of all, just take a moment and consider how big God's grace is, if it really is greater than your sin. And secondly, find some folks that you have not yet spoken to this morning. Even if you've got to walk from the back to the front or the front to the back, shake their hand, smile at them, and tell them how happy you are they're here today. All right, let's greet each other. You all smile more when you talk to each other. I like that. I like that. Remember, we don't print the bulletin just to waste paper, although it's a lot of paper wasted a lot of different times. But we print the bulletin for a number of reasons. One of the reasons is we want to give you the prayer requests. And we've got some prayer requests that you need to be praying about. And if you do not know what CCLC means that we're praying about, and it is very, and I'm going to capitalize that, underline it, boldface it, do whatever it is. It is very important, all right? And it's not just something we're praying about, but it's something that all the churches in our area should be praying about. So if you don't know what CCLC means, you need to find somebody today that'll take time to explain it to you, because it is just that important. We're told in Scripture that when Jesus saw the crowd, when he saw the crowd, he went up on the mountainside and he began to teach them. And it always impresses me, and I don't know, and I pray a lot, that I'll be able to see things the way Jesus does. Because I know most of the time I don't. But I tell you what, it really does change the way you see things. You know, he looked out and he saw a crowd. Now, he may, you know, I might have saw a lot of preparation, a lot of work, but he saw the crowds and he wanted to do something for them. So let's pray this morning that Jesus might indeed help us to see like he does. Let's pray. Lord, this morning we come to you and we do really seek your vision. Even though, Lord, when we know that as we even see ourselves for who we are, we're not going to like everything that we see. We're going to see that we need a lot of grace in our life because our sin is great and big. And so, Lord, we pray that you would forgive us and that you would restore us and that you would fill us with the joy of our salvation, a joy that's bubbling over, that just overflows in our conversation. It overflows in the way that we live our lives. Lord, help us to see that when we need healing and when we need strength and when we need your touch, that your hand is right there ready to give it. And Lord, there's a lot of people on our prayer list today that need that. They need to see your presence. They need to see that you love them. They need to see that you care about what they're going through. And Lord, we pray that right now you would reach down with your healing touch and that you would give them strength. Lord, sometimes what we really see that we need is we just need encouragement. Because life has a way sometimes of beating us down, knocking us down. And Lord, we just pray this morning that we'll see through your eyes, that we'll see the opportunities, Lord, that present themselves even through problems, even through difficulties, Lord, that there are opportunities for us to grow closer to you, for us to allow you to use us to make a difference. So, Lord, help us to see that you have sent us out to make a difference in our world. And we do pray, Lord, for the CCLC, for this opportunity to teach our children about you. And Lord, we confess that if we don't bring this about, if we don't allow you to lead us, if your spirit doesn't help us get this done, Lord, we believe it will be a sin for our community not to do this.
And so, Lord, we're praying, Lord, that you would continue to call out, rise up those that not only need to be a part of the steering committee that's going to be doing a lot of work, but you would rise up even teachers and those that will be intimately involved in working with the children. Lord, there's lots of details, but we know that in the end you're a God of great details, that you'll cover all the bases. So we're praying, Lord. Lord, use us. Help us to see the way you want us to get it done. So open our eyes, Lord. Help us to see that you really are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, that you're the Savior. Because, Lord, we want to see you in for who you are, how we thank you for this moment, and how we thank you for this time to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. And I believe the special music from the youth is right now. All right.
Well, I think it's hot there. Let me get the boys on this side. The boys on this side. And the ladies on this side. All right, this song, the slide, I think the slides are correct. We're going to sing three today for you. This is, has a boy part, the boys lead, the girls echo, and then we sing two different things. We'll do our best. Mr. Mike.
You are.
Mr. Mike, you'll be coming through from down here. I hope.
You guys stomp your feet like that? And let's clap together. That's it. Called clapping on the back. All right, sing this real quiet with me now.
Even when I'm afraid, I'm gonna let it shine. Even when I'm afraid, I'm gonna let it shine. Yes, even when I'm afraid, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Kind of amazing how you do things week after week, and I thought, man, I better check the bulletin on what comes next. And I thought, you know what? It don't matter. I'm the one doing it. I can do however I want to do it. Ushers, come on down as the kids get out of the way. There might be great freedom in this. I don't know. They've heard me enough, Rocky. Why don't you pray for us? That's all.
Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this Lord's Day, and we thank you, Lord, for this time together. We ask now that as we return a portion of that you so richly blessed us with, that you would allow our hearts to be generous and grateful. bless these offerings for the furthering of your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
See if I can get this right. Now, during the singing of this next hymn, the children are going to be dismissed to the children's church before the pastor comes and preaches. And before he comes and preaches, Miss Annabelle Lane is also going to have special music for us. So let's all stand together and sing Amazing Grace, 202.
Thank you.
Annabelle.
Stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great.
Sometimes, and not all the time, but sometimes hanging around Jesus makes me a bit uncomfortable. Now, there are parts of it I really like when I'm hanging around with Jesus, because I know that he loves me, I know he's there to help me, I know that he forgives me, and that kind of stuff. That's not what I'm really talking about this morning, but there's also other times when I hang around with Jesus too much, I begin to see things in Jesus that I know that are absolutely foreign to my life. They're just not a part of who I am. I see things in me that I know that he doesn't like. I see things that he does that I think he probably wants me to do, and I don't do them. Now, my best defense mechanism, in order to try to let myself off the hook, you know, my best defense mechanism is simply, you know what? I'm not Jesus. Of course he's going to do things and say things and be things that I am not, because he's Jesus and I'm not. But the truth is, I have to also, when I'm thinking that way, I have to also block out of my mind all those verses, mind you, in the scripture that tells me that by when I invite him into my life, that his spirit comes and all of a sudden I have the power to do what he would do. I have the power to be different. I'm transformed. I'm a new creation. I'm different. See, I've got to block that stuff out at the same time, and so it doesn't always work. So sometimes when I hang around Jesus, I'm just not all that comfortable. And I really could have picked a lot of different passages this morning to preach this message, because it was something Jesus always did. Jesus always cared for people. Not just the good ones like us. You know, the ones that clean up real good on Sunday morning, and we can put on, you know, a shirt and tie and coat, and you put on a nice fancy dress. Not just the good ones, but he cares for everybody. You know, the ones that we so typically either dismiss or simply don't even realize that they exist out there. He cares. He doesn't even look down on people just because they have made a royal mess out of their lives. He didn't let the social or religious customs stand in the way of helping people. He did not let the prejudices of his day color his caring. You see, you can find all of these very things in John chapter 4, which, by the way, is not my text. It could have been my text, one of many. But in John chapter 4, there's the story of the woman at the well. And there Jesus is. He's at the well. He's tired. He's worn out. The disciples have gone to buy food. You know, he's sitting at the well. He's sweaty. He's thirsty. And here comes this person to get some water out of the well. And the truth is, this person, of course, was a woman, and not just a woman, but a Samaritan woman. And the truth is, Jews and Samaritans didn't like each other. That's just the truth of it. They didn't. It was a mutual dislike, by the way. And so here comes this lady, and I don't know, maybe I really shouldn't call her a lady, because she certainly wasn't high society. This woman had made a royal mess out of her life, you see. She had been in and out of many, many different relationships, and she had been divorced many times. Now, maybe all of them wasn't her fault. I don't know. But I've found over the years that most of the time when there's a broken relationship, there's fault on both sides. So I'm fearing she wasn't innocent, at least in all of the relationships. And at that particular moment, she was living with a man that wasn't her husband, and that is sexual immorality, and that's sin, and that's wrong then, and it continues to be wrong today, by the way. Now, I know we as a society really don't say anything much about it. We don't really do much with that, but it is still sin. It was sin then, and it's sin today. Now, Jesus did not excuse her sin, but you got to see this now. Neither did Jesus turn his back on her because of her sin. He didn't turn his back on her because she lived in a trailer on the wrong side of town, hoping that she would get her water and quickly get out of there, but he cared. In fact, he offered her what he has offered each and every one of us. He offered her that day a drink of living water. And he took the initiative. He took the initiative. And here is a side point, by the way. If we take the initiative, it will more and really show people that we care about them. Well, it'll shock them. And it shocked this woman. Not that he wanted a drink. They were at a well, mind you, and he was thirsty. But she knew the rules, right? She knew the hatred that's supposed to exist between Jews and Samaritans. In fact, she said, "You're a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink of water?" And with that, it was like Jesus said, "Well, let me tell you." And that was the open door that he was waiting for. She had cracked the door open, and he shot through that open door, and the conversation ensued. And before that conversation was over, she had taken a drink of the living water, and she had found forgiveness. Look, sometimes hanging around Jesus makes me uncomfortable because he cares for everyone. And sure, I mean, I care about my family. I care about my friends. I care about people, of course, in the church. And I got to tell you that my sphere, my circle of caring has expanded over the years, but I know that it's still not as large as Jesus' circle. I still know that there's people out there that I don't care about the way that he cares about them. Because truth is, caring has a flow to it. In fact, that's what I want you to notice when we read our text this morning from Matthew chapter 14. We're going to read verses 13 and 14 if you want to stand for the reading of the word this morning. Matthew chapter 14, starting with verse 13. But I want you to catch the flow that takes place in verse 14. It's important. When Jesus heard about what had happened, and what he heard was that John the Baptist had been killed by Herod, okay? When he heard about what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. On hearing of this, the crowds followed Jesus on foot from the towns. Now here's verse 14. Notice this now. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. You may be seated. Now, if we take serious this morning all this talk about Christians forming the body of Christ on this earth, if we take any of that talk seriously, and I believe we had better take it serious, then we know that if we see somebody in need or in trouble, that we know as a representative, as the hands and feet of Christ, we're supposed to do something to help them, right? I mean, it's like, thank you, Jesus, for telling the story about the Good Samaritan, right? And you know the story. In the story, a man gets beat up and he gets robbed and he gets left for dead. And the villains in the story are church folks. In fact, if Jesus were here today and trying to contemporize the story for us, the Southern Methodist said the pastor saw the man and kept walking. He'd say the board of stewards came by and they saw the man and they kept walking. And then came along this Samaritan, this person that nobody liked, and all of a sudden his heart was filled with compassion and mercy and he reached out and he took care of the man. I mean, too often, I mean, we see people in need, but we just don't do anything, right? It's kind of like the man that came home from work one day and he was telling his wife, you know, that particular morning, I mean, the heavens had opened up. It was just pouring down the rain. He said, you know, I was driving to work and here's this poor woman on the side of the road. She'd had a flat tire. And he said, she's outside and it's obvious she doesn't really know how to change the tire. And he said, not one person stopped to help her. And she said, well, did you stop? And he said, well, no, I was on my way to work. I mean, how many times do we drive by people? We know someone ought to stop. I think sometimes the Holy Spirit's the one tapping us on our shoulder saying, you're my representative. You are the hands and feet of Christ. Do something. Do something. I mean, other people can choose not to look. Other people can look and not care whatsoever, but not Jesus' followers. No, others can walk on and not do a thing about it, but not us. I mean, thankfully, aren't you glad that we can get real proficient at not seeing? All right, because if we don't see the crowds, if we don't see the person in need, if we don't see the problem, then we don't got to do anything, right? But it doesn't really let us off the hook. Never has and never will. So what do we see? And the truth is, what we see makes a huge difference. Dr. Thomas Long, a Presbyterian minister, said that he served on an ordaining council. And he said that one of the older members of that council, he said for the time he was there, and apparently he had done some investigating and found he always did this. He said one of the questions this older minister always asked these young people coming through for ordination to be preachers, he would always ask them to go to the window and look out and tell him what they saw. And they'd say, well, I see some, you know, trees, some grass, some people. And he'd say, okay, well, stop right there. He said, those people over there, theologically, explain to me what you see in those people. Theologically, explain what you see. And Dr. Long said, you know, that typically the responses, he said, you know, you would get some wild ones occasionally. He said, but most of them really came down to one or two things. He said, some prospective ministers would look out and they'd say, you know, I see a sinner out there. I see people that are full of sin and they're going to go to hell if something doesn't change in their life. He said, but the other side, he said, would come and say, you know, I see somebody made in the image of God that God loves so much that God sent his son to save them. And when the old preacher was asked why he asked that question, he said, because I have found that it's people that look out or ministers that look out and see him like the latter, they make the best pastors because their heart is tender and open. He said, what we see makes a difference. So daily our prayer will be, Lord, open our eyes that we might see, the crowds, the people, the needs, the hurts like you see them. Got to tell you, hanging around Jesus makes me uncomfortable because caring for people It's not easy. Fact is, sometimes seeing people hurting and in need, I don't know about you, but it kind of tugs at my heart sometimes. Sometimes I prefer to turn the channel or look away because I don't like what I'm seeing. Truth is, sometimes, rather than being filled with compassion, the temptation is simply to harden our hearts, right? We might have to see them, but maybe we don't have to care. But the problem is, we know that's not really an option. The closer we get to Jesus, the more we hang around with him, because we know that he cares, and there's no way around knowing that he cares. But sometimes we see. And sometimes, instead of seeing like Jesus, we tend to think, you know what, they deserve their mess. They're living in sin. They're doing all the things that are wrong. If they want a better life, let them go out and work a little harder. And the truth is, those things might all be true. They absolutely might deserve everything they're getting. And if they'd work a little harder, they might be able to get out of the condition they're in. Maybe all that stuff might be true. But I'm so glad that God doesn't give us what we all deserve this morning. And I believe he calls his church, his body, his hands and his feet. I believe he calls us to live and to do the things that he would do. And so we don't look out just to condemn them. We look out to have compassion upon them. And I know, yes, I know. Gee, I know. About the time you say, you know, when you really finally convince a group of people, you know, we got to care about people, then there's some people that come along and they're going to try to take advantage of us. You know what? There are people out there today that prey on the church and prey on Christians specifically because they know we're supposed to care, right? And so they do it. I've had it happen to me. I've taken a man to the gas station to put gas in his tank that he said was absolutely empty, and he was just trying to get to the hospital to see his very sick child, and I didn't get more than a buck and a half of gas in his tank until it was overflowing on the ground. And the tank wasn't empty. He was just wanting wanting some free money. Instead of giving him money, I took him to the gas station. Now, why he went to the gas station is beyond me. I understand now why he simply said, oh, just give me the money and I'll pump it myself. But when I said, what's up with this? Your tank's full. He just looked at me, shrugged his shoulders, got in his car and left without saying a word to me. It happens, folks. People take advantage of us. It's kind of like the phone call I got, and I'd already been tipped off by a bunch of other pastors that had all received the same phone call in the community, not here, but a man calls up and said his mother had been killed by DUI in Florida, and him and his family had been to our church in the past, and he was down there, and he needed us to wire him $100 so he could get his family home after his mother's funeral. But it was all nothing more than a scam. So it happens, right? People are going to try to. It happened. It should not surprise us. It happened to Jesus, all right? And sometimes, yes, when we give people and we try to help them, sometimes we give them some help, and we're thinking, okay, maybe they'll get themselves and get their lives, but then we don't see them again until they need something else from us, right? I mean, it happens. Think about the 10 lepers that came to Jesus. You know the story, I hope, in Luke's gospel. 10 lepers come to Jesus. And they all want healed of their leprosy. And why not? I mean, it is disease, right? You want to guess how many came back? One. That's right. A few of you know the story. One leper came. Only one out of 10 came back to say, thank you for healing me. But did Jesus heal them all, or did he only heal the one? Look, he got taken advantage of, but he still healed them all. Look, I know we're supposed to be good stewards, and our resources are not unlimited, right? But if we're not sure, I believe we have to err on the side of helping. Okay? Because I got to tell you what, I don't have to stand before God and explain why I asked for help I didn't need, like a lot of people I think are going to have to stand. But I would have to answer why if God said, I sent some people for you to help and you didn't help them. And that's not a conversation I want to have. Look, for whatever it's worth, I believe that when we do the Jesus thing, when we care about people and really help, I believe the blessings outweigh the disappointments. Now, I know hanging around Jesus is going to be uncomfortable. Because if we care, see, we've got to do something. That's the flow. Did you see it? He saw the crowds. He saw them first. He had compassion, and compassion is more than feeling sorry for them. He says he then healed their sick. He did something. So if we want to grow as a church, then we've got to overcome the fear of truly being compassionate. People are not going to be impressed with how much scripture we can quote them or how much that we can tell them that God loves them and that God is there for them. What will get their attention is when we really care for them. When we're willing to help them, then they'll care. Then they'll know. Look, Jesus saw, had compassion and helped. It's true, of course, that we can't heal like Jesus. I know that. You know, I don't think I've ever prayed and seen an instant miracle. But I know this, we can always pray for them and we can help them physically and financially. We can give them what we have. God doesn't expect the impossible from us, but he does expect from us. It's kind of like the old story about the street sweeper named Bill. And every summer he was out there cleaning the streets of his particular community. And one year there was this elderly couple that every time Bill was scheduled to come by their house, they were out there with a glass of lemonade, ice cold lemonade, and some sort of treat for him, and he would stop and they'd talk 5 or 10 minutes and he'd get back in the street sweeper and keep going. Well, in the summer came and Bill shows up at their door with a bag of peaches in one hand and a bag of corn on the cob in the other, and they said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I just wanted to say thank you for the way that you were always out there every week." And they said, "Look, it was nothing. It was nothing. We didn't think of that. You didn't have to do this." And he said, "It may have been nothing, but it was more than anybody else did." How many times are we the everybody else? Look, caring in Jesus' name is a powerful thing. And we don't have to look far and we don't have to look long in order to see people in need. That's never going to change. There's a lot of hurt out there. The question or the issue that arises then, will we be the church? Will we reach out? Will we build bridges of reconciliation? Will we sacrifice some of our comfort for others? Because people are hungry and they need clothes and sometimes they need a bill paid. Some know that sin has a grip on their life and it's destroying their lives, and somehow they think that they're all alone and that there is no hope for them. And the truth is, they think a lot of people don't care that they're in the shape they're in, and that's probably true, but it shouldn't be true of the church. Countless people today are grieving and hurting over the loss of a loved one or a broken relationship, and they need someone to put their arms around them and tell them that it's going to be okay. What will we do? Now, Jesus knew better than anybody else that the greatest need that anyone has is a spiritual need. And yet he also fed hungry stomachs and healed broken bodies. When we care enough to do something in Jesus' name, eyes will be opened. And I know that the church has to be more than a food pantry or a clothes bank and that sort of stuff. I know that we always and foremost dispense love and grace. But the truth is, we sometimes have to dispense the physical things in order to dispense the spiritual. Our mission to Turbyville is to do whatever it takes to get the gospel to people. Flat out, that's just it. And it takes caring about people. Regardless of where they live, the type of clothes that they wear, the color of their skin, or even whether they like us or don't like us. We've got to care. And we've got to show them we care. An interesting study was done in Lincoln, Nebraska, probably 5 years ago or so, I think, when I first read this. And for 18 consecutive weeks, this lady, the same lady, went to 18 of the churches in Lincoln. And she dressed nice, not over the top, but nice. You know, she didn't want to come in shabby clothes, but she dressed nice. And basically, she was going to give points. If someone smiled at her, just smiled at her, she'd give 10 points to that church. If someone shook her hand, you know, when she was in the sanctuary to sit down, she'd give them 10 points. If they introduced themselves, she'd give 100 points. If they asked her to sit with them, she'd give them 1,000 points. And if they invited her to another church service, she'd give them 1,000 points. That's easy, right? Out of 18 churches, zero churches scored more than 100 points. Think about that. I mean, a smile, 10 people smiling that. But I got to tell you, we frown more at church than anywhere I know. I mean, honestly, we just do. So I kind of believe that. Okay, so we'll throw out the smile part. But not even 10 people would shake her hand Not one introduced themselves. Not one asked her to sit with them. Interesting, isn't it? Look, I think the truth is this. The singing can be inspirational. The preaching can be powerful. But if people believe that they're not welcome and that you don't care about them, I don't think they're going to be back. That's the bottom line. Look, caring works because everybody wants to be cared for. All right? And yes, I know that hanging around Jesus makes us uncomfortable. But the truth is, it's worth it. It's worth it because of something else Jesus said. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before Him. And He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. And then the king will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothing, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And the righteous will answer Him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothing and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. You did it for me. Who doesn't want to help Jesus? Who doesn't want to help Jesus this morning? And the way we help Him is to find people out there that are hurting and care for. Lord, this morning we recognize that we fall short so, so very much. And Lord, we pray that through the power of Your word this morning, You'd help us to look at our lives honestly and openly. And Lord, we want to be Your hands and feet. We want to be Your body. So Lord, help us this morning as You're speaking to our hearts. Help us to know what it is You want us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand as Laura sings our invitation this morning, as she sings. Hey, go help Jesus today. Isn't that the neat thing? We get to go out and help somebody, care about them. And Jesus says, yep, that's me. That's me. We're going to forgo the choral benediction because I don't do that. So I'm not doing it. God bless you. Have a great day. Go help Jesus. You're dismissed.